I'll always love you.
Welcome everyone to Xenonuverse Podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who've been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 97. This podcast shows for all the Xenonuver subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So hi, welcome, and I hope everyone is doing well. We've got another great show going for you. 97. Three more to go for 100, or actually two more after this one, if you look at it that way. And I am very, very excited. We've got quite a few things going on, so let's get into it. To start off with, the song snippet you hear on there is called Deadmau5 from Brazil, and it's the second edition. I hope everybody enjoys it. Decided to do something different this time and put a little bit of a electronica beat. It's something that I actually use for my running. So it gives you a nice beat as you go along in a steady pace. So as you can hear it, you'll know what I mean as you go along. But anyway, that's for me. And, I'm just not normal. So let's get into the show. Well, as you can hear by the movie sound, that it is time for our movie review. And as sent in by my movie wench, Pam, thank you, Pam, we actually have two of them. We're going to have an online one and one that you have to rent. And in the first one, the movie is called Ghosted. It's by I. May. It's 2008. And it says, in Taipei, to unveil an art installation in honor of her dead Taiwanese lover, Ai Ling, German artist Sophie Schmidt, who is Inga Busch, rebuffs the erotic advances of enigmatic journalist Mi Li, who is actually Ting Ting Hu. But when Mi Li turns up at her door in Hamburg, Sophie reconsiders. She discovers, though, that the mysterious woman tis much more than she appears to be. Monica Truitt directs this atmospheric drama. And then you can download the movie online through the website, and I'll have a link on my show notes for It's Ghosted. And then she also found a patio book called Glitter Girl by Erin O'Brien. And the story has its moments, but it's humorous and it's angsty in spots. And it says, when one grown daughter is a flagrant San Francisco lesbian who has won and lost an international journalism award, only to reinvent herself as a glitter spray sales girl, and the other daughter is spearheading a born-again anti-abortion movement and no longer talks to her parents, the family obviously has a few issues to work out. Meet the Sorens. Gloria Soren, the 28-year-old glitter girl in the novel, is picking up the pieces of the particularly failed career and wrestling with the habit of fibbing that got her into trouble in the first place. The younger Soren sister, Angie, has strayed away from her secular family right through the sliding glass doors of a small church located in a nearby mini-mall. The family has been in a standoff with Angie for a few years when Gloria decides to find her sister in an effort to make up. And you can listen to the book either on her website or download it on iTunes. And I'll have a link as well on my show notes. So thanks, Pam, for the book review and the movie review.
Come and get me.
Well, I've been requested by one of my listeners to give an updated version of the listing of all the different countries that actually go ahead and listen to the show. And, it's been a while since I've done that, and because the last time I actually gave out, there wasn't a really big listing. But also saying hi to Francis. Hi, Francis. And welcome to the show. And so I'm giving her a shout out. But she was the one who actually suggested it because we really haven't gotten an updated listing as to who, what, where, when, how, and why. So I'm going to give you an updated listing of all the different countries that actually listen to the show. So bear with me. We've got the United States, the United Kingdom, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium, Norway, the Netherlands, sorry about that, Canada, Italy, Slovakia, Mexico, Sweden, Croatia, Russia, Singapore, Denmark, Finland, France, Taiwan, New Zealand, Trinidad and Tobago, the Philippines, Indonesia, Brazil, Turkey, India, and the Czech Republic. So that gives us a total of 28 different countries that actually listen in to the show. So to everyone who's mentioned on the show there, thank you. Welcome to listening to Xena and Ubers. And mention the show to your friends and fellow listeners and fellow Xenites. And have them send me an email and, if they're not part of your country. And I'll mention them on the next update, hopefully within the next 6 months or a year as well. Well, over in the Renee news, she's got an update she's finally put up on the latest news, the February newsletter. And she's written, "Hi gang, the February newsletter is now up. Check out my favorite chocolate cake recipe. Delicious. Inside this month's videos is truly inspiring and interesting story from Claire Stansfield on how she began her t-shirt company and transformed it into a phenomenal success story. There are also more videos from my teacher and mentor, Mary Rocamora, on her work with facilitating self-awareness, and Annie Pinon, and I made a comedy video in the Five Ways section about multitasking, what not to do. Enjoy the entertainment, my friends. Regards, Renee." And in the Lucy Lawless news, we have the second update, or the second official episode of Spartacus, that's out on Stars, so check it out. Well, by now, everybody is geared up and ready to rock and roll for the XenaCon. I'm sure everybody is just waiting on pins and needles. Those of you who have already flown there or arrived there or set there ready for it to happen. And I wish them luck. I wish everybody to have fun and enjoy themselves. And like I said, if you are attending and you'd be able to either send me some photos or send me some interview clips, if you hear any sound clips or anything like that, if they allow it, send them on in to me and I'll put them on the show. In the meanwhile, over here, we are still in the midst of that nice tropical heat wave that we're having. And with the cyclone Olga that hit the coast, we are getting a nice amount of rain. And it's a great thing to get up at 5 in the morning and go running in the rain. I'm sure everybody gets up and does that and enjoys it. Not. So that's all the news that's fit for news, and we're going to get into the show, and I hope everybody did enjoy that last show with the extra sound effects. I didn't get any feedback on that in regards to when Xena and Gabrielle were getting ready to do their go up on stage and the drum beating. I didn't get any feedback on that, so I don't know if anybody enjoyed it or even noticed it. But I'm going to try and start doing that for the show and enter little snippets of sound backgrounds that someone suggested to try. And if I have the time, I will do that. So let's get into the show. Come and get A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good, Part 11. Xena strode through the softly lit hallway, shifting the strap of her carry bag as she evaded two excitedly whispering bards and ducked into the room in the Bard's Academy they'd urged her to take Gabrielle to after the show. She'd been caught in a mild dilemma, wanting to get her partner to someplace quiet so she could tend to her, and the knowledge that Gabrielle surely must want to savor the praise and adulation that surrounded her. So they'd compromised. Xena threaded her way through the cluster of elder bards and into the cool, curtained-off area she'd left Gabrielle in, its entrance guarded by her somber-looking Kate and a bemusedly interested Palladia.
"Hello, Xena," Kate hissed as she went by. "Is Gabrielle going to be all right?"
The warrior paused with a hand on the curtain. "I'm working on it," she told her young friend. "I think she needs rest more than anything else."
"Not a great lot of that here,"
Kate commented, giving the bards in the outer room a skeptical look. Xena nodded in agreement before she went through the curtain and into the alcove. Inside, there was a padded, comfortable-looking couch, and the stone floor was covered in a thick woolen rug. Three separate fountains graced the walls, and the water's gentle tinkle was pervasively relaxing. It immediately got on Xena's nerves. She walked over to the couch and set her bag down, then knelt and put a gentle hand on the wrist of its occupant.
Bloodshot green eyes flicked into view.
"You're back,"
Gabriel commented in a whisper.
"Yep,"
the warrior agreed.
"How are you doing?"
"Cruddy."
Xena patted her arm.
"Hang in there. I've got something that'll make you feel better."
Gabriel rolled her head slightly to one side and attempted a grin.
"You are something that makes me feel better."
She glanced around the room.
"This is nice, isn't it?"
Xena had seated herself on the floor and was arranging the herbs she'd taken out of her bag.
"You're not going to make me put one of those things in our cabin, are you?"
She indicated a fountain.
"Are you kidding? Dory would live in it."
Gabrielle reached out and tangled her fingers in the warrior's dark hair.
"I'd never get her out of there, and we'd end up taking a dozen showers a day every time we walked by."
Xena chuckled softly.
"You've got a point there."
She carefully combined three different herbs in the bottom of one of their traveling cups, then took a slim glass bottle from the bag and uncorked it.
"Uh-oh,"
Gabrielle joked faintly.
"How bad are they?"
With a slight smile, Xena removed two glasses from the bag and set the cups of herbs down, filling the glasses with amber liquid and handing Gabrielle one.
"They're not bad at all, but I won't ruin the honey meat on them. Here."
Gabrielle hitched herself up a little and took the glass, sipping it hesitantly.
"Oh."
She licked her lips.
"Wow, that's good."
She took a bigger mouthful and let it permeate her senses before she swallowed it. Xena waited for her to swallow as she swirled the wine in her own glass. Then she lifted it and touched it to Gabrielle's.
"Here's to the greatest bard in Athens."
Gabrielle went very still, only her eyelashes blinking as she stared at Xena. A blush worked its way up her neck and colored her cheeks.
Thank you."
She finally stuttered softly.
"Did you..."
"Heard them talking outside,"
Xena said, taking a sip of the mead.
"They'd just finished taking the votes."
She'd hoarded the news to herself and hoped she'd gotten back in time to be the one to tell Gabrielle, wanting to see the look in a partner's eyes when she did.
After a moment of shock, a grin appeared on the bard's face as she contemplated the golden liquid in her glass.
She tipped it forward and clinked it against Xena's, then took another sip, a look of delight suffusing her face and lighting up her eyes. Xena stretched her legs out and crossed them, leaning an elbow on the couch as she finished off her mead.
"Come on, you can't be that surprised,"
she eventually kidded her younger partner.
"You heard that crowd when you finished."
Her free hand was busy, pouring the water into the cups of herbs and stirring it. Gabrielle rolled onto her side a little and settled her head closer to Xena.
"Well..."
She thought about the question a little bit.
"It's not that. It's just..."
The bard went silent for a bit.
"You're the greatest warrior on Earth."
Both of Xena's eyebrows jerked up almost to her hairline. "Gabrielle..."
"Oh, shut up, Xena. You know you are, so knock it off,"
the bard forestalled her.
"Okay. Fine. I am, then. But what does that have to do..."
"Oh."
Gabrielle tugged the dark locks.
"Got you to admit it. Cool."
Xena looked at her.
"Just for that? Here, drink this."
She handed over the cup of herbs, which Gabrielle accepted, then resolutely drained.
"Ugh!"
The bard winced as she handed the cup back and took a last sip of the mead to wash down the taste away.
"Anyway, what I meant before was..."
"You're not used to being the greatest at something."
Xena put the cup down, then leaned over and gave her soulmate a kiss on the lips.
"Right?"
Gabrielle absorbed the tingle, which traveled down into her gut and loosened the aching tightness in her muscles. She leaned back and gazed at the warrior.
"What was the question?"
Xena merely shook her head and laughed under her breath.
"Feeling better?"
Gabrielle stretched cautiously, feeling the herbs start to kick in along with a bellyful of strong mead. The ache was subsiding, and it was getting easier to breathe. Though exactly which one of the warrior's varied remedies was contributing to that, all was hard to say at this point.
Maybe all of them were, she decided.
"Yeah,"
she exhaled.
"I think I could use a good night's sleep, though."
Xena spared a moment's wish that they were leagues away from Athens.
"Soon.
I think..." She looked up as footsteps approached outside, and the curtain moved, revealing Elenius and the rest of the elders.
"Look surprised,"
she muttered under her breath,
getting a tweak on a hair from the bard.
Bard Gabrielle.
Elenius came forward, his bearded face barely suppressing a triumphant smile.
May we enter and speak with you?
Gabrielle glanced at the curtain, then at him, and one eyebrow lifted slightly.
Sure.
She rested her hand on Xena's shoulder, watching her partner strike her sexy intimidation pose out of the corner of her eye. The elder bards entered and gathered behind Elenius. Gabrielle examined their faces as they got settled, seeing a mixture of relief, elation, a touch of amazement, and best of all, respect as they looked back at her. Suddenly, she wished her other family, her birth family, were here to see this.
The citizens' votes have been counted,
the senior bard told her.
And they have chosen you.
The elders all applauded, while Gabrielle didn't quite repress a blush.
Even though she pretty much told them their city stinks, and they've got crooks running it?
Xena put in a wry question. Elenius lifted his shoulders slightly, in an urbane shrug.
Given a brilliant enough presentation, one can be coaxed into swallowing a pebble and think it's delicious.
He replied with an easy smile.
And Gabrielle, that was indeed brilliantly done. You truly do deserve what it is to be a bard, which is so much more than merely to entertain.
Thanks,
Gabrielle answered softly, her fingers curled around Xena's upper arm in an almost unconscious gesture.
So, what happens now?
The older man walked over to a low settee near the bed and sat down on it, clasping his hands together as he regarded her.
Right now, I think right now all of us are going to have a flagon of wine and take to our beds. It's been a long day.
He shifted.
Tomorrow night, after the games are finished, we will bring you up and present you to the city.
Gabrielle bit the inside of her lip to restrain a sarcastic comment.
Then you will, of course, present the prize to the overall winner of the games.
All right.
The bard nodded thoughtfully, glancing sidelong at Xena.
How's Celeste taking it?
Elenius winced and rubbed his chin. The other bard shifted uncomfortably.
It was not the most pleasant of scenes,
he admitted.
I'm glad you weren't there to hear it.
She should be glad I wasn't there to hear it, Xena broke in, her voice low and growly. I've had enough of her.
Yes, well,
she had Homer put in jail,
Gabrielle broke in unexpectedly.
Aren't you going to do something about that?
There was a momentary silence.
Homer said he couldn't prove...
She tried to force me to withdraw by threatening to have him beaten.
The bard overrode his speech.
I was supposed to meet her at noontime, because I said I wouldn't deal unless I knew he was okay.
Xena turned ahead fully and stared at her partner.
Sorry, honey. We've been a little busy.
The bard apologized.
I forgot to tell you about that.
She wrinkled her nose at the outraged blue eyes.
I was on my way to get to you when I bumped into those creeps in the market.
Xena sighed and shook her head.
Anyway, that should be enough for you to do something about her, right?
Gabrielle returned her attention to the senior bards, who were exchanging looks of consternation.
Right?
Elenius covered his eyes.
We need to retire and discuss this,
he told the rest of them.
It's an unexpected complication.
His eyes flicked to Gabrielle.
Have a good evening's rest, Bard Gabrielle. We will talk again in the morning.
Gabrielle watched them leave, the curtain falling into place behind them, before she turned and met Xena's eyes.
Can we go home now?
You mean you've caused enough trouble now?
Xena rested her arm on the couch and her chin on her arm.
Xena...
Just kidding.
The warrior could sense the frayed edges of Gabrielle's temper, unusual since it was normally her who objected to extended teasing.
How about I carry you back to the inn? We've got some more mead there, and a couple of other treats.
Treats?
Gabrielle hated being grumpy, and hated even more the knowledge that Xena was humoring her about it after the day they'd been through. She knew her partner must, at least, be almost as sore as she was, and she had a long, tough trial to go through tomorrow, before the whole thing was over.
I think I owe you some treats.
She touched Xena's nose with one fingertip, tracing the bridge of it.
But I'd settle for a snuggle.
The herbs, she realized, were really hitting her, putting a layer of vagueness between her and the discomfort and making the thought of sleep almost irresistible.
Let's go.
Xena gathered her up and stood, slinging her bag over her shoulder as she headed for the door and the still chaotic streets outside. It was very late that night before the noise receded and allowed some kind of peace into the inn's small room. Xena was lying on her back in the bed, with Gabrielle sprawled bonelessly over her. So deeply asleep the warrior doubted an entire carnival outside the window would have stirred her at all. Xena, of course, wasn't so lucky. Ordinary night noises triggered her senses, and though she had the ability to focus a concentration through almost anything, horns outside the window defeated even her best efforts. But that was all right. She needed some time alone to just sit and think, to absorb the Dave's trials, and order her thoughts for what was coming in the morning. She reached out with one hand and captured a mug on the small stool next to her, taking a sip of the herb-infused wine and letting it slide down her throat. The aches of the day were starting to catch up, and she hoped, by relaxing her body as much as possible, she could stave off the worst consequences of her actions. Her shoulders ached the worst, having taken the strain of both of them on their climb to freedom. They bothered her more than her knee, in fact, which seemed to have held up pretty well and was only throbbing dully, hardly more than it had been the day before. She wished she were home, where a long soak in the spring would have been a choice of therapy, but she did the best she could with the herbs, and the knowledge that her room was well and truly guarded by both Amphipolitans and Amazons, and she could sleep if she wanted to. A prickle of arm hairs alerted her, but she remained still as Aphrodite propped into the room, dressed in a long, white flowing toga that complemented her curly blonde hair. The goddess floated over and held up both thumbs.
"That's so rocked," Aphrodite chortled. "She is just so the babe."
Xena regarded the fair hair tucked under her shoulder.
"Do you know how pissed off I am that she had to go through what she had to today because of your lousy brother?"
"Oh,"
Aphrodite relaxed in midair, laying down on her side and crossing her golden-strapped ankles.
"Hey, listen, that's what I wanted to talk to you about."
Her face was uncharacteristically serious.
"It got way out of hand, like, you know. It was only supposed to lock you guys in there for a little while."
Xena stared at her. "We almost died." Her voice was low and almost calm. The goddess shrugged.
"Well, yeah, but you didn't, so no biggie, right?"
She sat up cross-legged, arranging a toga.
"After all, you guys almost, like, die, like, all the time, you know?"
"Not recently," Xena said flatly. "And I have a problem with you bastards putting us in that position for a damn bet."
"Hey," Aphrodite frowned. "Watch the language, okay? I'm not the bad guy here."
"Aren't you?" Xena glowered at her. "Looks like you're ready to do anything to save precious little Ares' ego."
"You know, you can really piss me off," the goddess responded. "And that is so uncool, especially since I nearly singed my buns pulling her out of that lava pit."
She pointed at Gabrielle's sleeping form. There was total silence as they both stared at each other.
"Oh, peach pits," Aphrodite made a disgusting face. "I was so never going to tell you that."
She lifted her hand to snap out.
"Forget this scene. I'm out of here."
Xena found her voice a split second later.
"Wait."
She managed to get out hoarsely. For a moment, she thought Aphrodite was going to pop out just from peak. But then the goddess slowly lowered her hand and floated there, waiting.
"You?"
"Come on, you think it was like Ares, did ya?"
the goddess of love asked. Xena slowly shook her head, trying to absorb the thought.
"He'd have called in for that favor already,"
she murmured, then looked up, searching the goddess's face, her mind calling up all unbidden that nightmarish time in her life. Her eyes closed as she felt that ache all over again, and in doing that, she missed a sudden shift in Aphrodite's expression as the goddess watched her.
"Listen," Aphrodite said in a gentle voice. "I know you've been messed with a lot, but it's not like we all, like, hate you, Xena."
Xena blinked her eyes open and gazed past the floating goddess with a faraway look.
"We had, like, a big blowout after I did it," the goddess continued. "We're talking seriously pissed off Parental City, and me and Ares got totally grounded after that for messing with both of you so much. So we had to sit up there and, like, watch. That was kind of tough."
Aphrodite considered a moment.
"We were so bitching with each other. We really lucked out when that brain drain Alti messed up big time and spilled that Gab was still alive.
Xena nodded slowly, in silence. Then she lifted her eyes to meet Aphrodite's.
Thank you.
Her voice was husky, withheld emotion. The goddess didn't seem to know how to really react to that. She scowled engagingly for a bit.
Hey, I mean, like, let's face it. You love her enough to have given her that little bambino. I had to do it, you know? I had my rep to think of.
The warrior took a little tight hold on her soulmate, her composure still way off balance in trying to deal with this new information. If there was one of the Olympians she'd accept owing a favor to, she realized, Aphrodite would be the one. No question about it.
Thanks,
she said again, gazing gratefully at the floating woman.
From all of us.
Ooh, don't get all emotion on me, okay? I can't deal, Xena, Aphrodite complained. It's like when Ares gets all mopey. I just can't handle it.
She regarded the two mortals.
I'm sorry it got so radical for you guys today, and that little one got hurt.
Xena stroked Gabrielle's hair with a protective hand.
Me too.
Aphrodite mulled this over.
You going to go for it tomorrow?
Xena nodded.
Can't talk you out of it?
The warrior shook her head. The goddess sighed.
Okay, you take care, all right?
She lifted her hand and snapped her fingers, popping out in the blink of an eye. Xena tucked the light blanket around Gabrielle's shoulders and relaxed as she let her mind loose to ponder.
Gabrielle woke up the next morning pretty much in the same position she'd fallen asleep in the night before. Since that involved using Xena as a body pillow, there was nothing really wrong with that, and in fact, she had no real desire to budge now that she was awake. It was still dark and quiet outside, and mostly dark inside the room, save a dim glow from the oil lamp set by the bed. Xena's arms were wrapped around her, and the warrior was sound asleep, her breathing slow and even, and her heartbeat beating with even regularity underneath Gabrielle's ear. It was a really nice feeling. Gabrielle had always thought so, from the very first time she'd experienced it, all those years ago on that very cold night. Then, it had been a treasure, thought to be one time happening. Now, Gabrielle drew in a contented breath, full of Xena's scent, and reveled in the security of the powerful body wrapped around hers. Now it was hers. All hers. She decided a while back that she really enjoyed being in love. And more, she really enjoyed being in love with Xena. Sure, it meant getting into scrapes sometimes, but so what? It was worth it. Gabrielle cautiously stretched her body out, feeling stiff, but not nearly as bad as she had the night before. Her head no longer hurt, and she felt rested and her thoughts were clear. She blinked her eyes a few times, gazing past Xena's shoulder at the flickering lamp, as her mind went through the night prior, reliving the bard's contest all over again.
I did it.
She remembered the crowd and the flickering torchlight and the incredible rush at the reaction when she'd finished. More precious to her, though, was Xena's heartfelt praise, and that shared bottle of mead in private moment before she found out officially. Wow. That had felt so wonderful. Gabrielle felt a warm surge of joy spill over her, and her face creased into a happy grin. Under her ear, she was abruptly aware of Xena's heart rhythm picking up, and the warrior shifted position, tightening her hug. Agreeably, Gabrielle returned the pressure, circling Xena's belly with an arm and squeezing it. She felt Xena's hand move, giving her back a light scratch, and she tilted her head up to see her grin reflected in Xena's pale eyes.
Morning.
Morning.
Xena agreed, her voice slightly husky with sleep.
Feeling better?
For an answer, Gabrielle squeezed her again, wrapping her legs around her partner's and getting her whole body into the effort.
Ugh!
Xena chuckled softly, rubbing her hands up and down over Gabrielle's back in a light massage. The bard squiggled in pleasure.
Yeah, I feel better,
she said with a satisfied sigh. After a moment's reflection, she shifted a little.
A lot better, as a matter of fact.
Good.
Xena rifled her fingers through the bard's light hair.
Hey.
She tilted Gabrielle's head up a little.
Come here.
Hmm?
Gabrielle squirmed around and got up on one elbow, as Xena reached over for the lamp and brought it closer.
What?
She remained still as her partner's long fingers touched her face, watching a faint reflection in Xena's eyes.
What's wrong?
That whip mark, Xena murmured, her brow creasing. Gabrielle frowned.
Did it turn purple overnight or something? What is it?
It's gone. In reflex, Gabrielle reached up and touched her face.
Really?
She asked incredulously.
That's so weird. It was really sore last night.
Her fingers felt nothing but smooth skin, though, and pressure against its surface brought no pain.
Wow.
Yeah, Xena agreed softly. Gabrielle shrugged.
Well, I knew it was just a matter of time,
she said matter-of-factly. Matter of time for what? Xena asked, setting the oil lamp down.
For me to catch your magic,
the bard answered, settling back down into her favorite spot. She fitted herself into Xena's body and relaxed, draping her arm back over the warrior's belly. She felt the surface lift as Xena took a deep breath, then sink as she exhaled.
No wonder I feel so much better.
You really think you got it from me? Xena pondered curiously.
Well, honey bear, you're kind of the obvious source, you know?
Gabrielle mumbled.
It's not like they sell that, even in this city's marketplace.
She gave Xena's ribs a friendly scratch.
Hmm.
Xena curled herself around her partner again and closed her eyes, holding both Gabrielle and the thought of the gift close to her heart. She'd been dreaming, one of her rare, remembered fun dreams of her childhood, before Cortese, before the army, before even the time when she'd become aware of herself as an individual. Just a dream of a sunny day just after the harvest, when she and Lai and Taurus had raced through the stubbled wheat fields, chasing butterflies with wild abandon. They'd been barefoot without a single care, a suddenly remembered innocence that Xena had long since thought buried in her memories forever. She called back that fragment of a dream and remembered. Remembered what it was like to be that child for the first time since Lysias died. She could almost feel the laughter erupting from her stomach as she outraced Taurus and got the big red one.
See?
Hmm?
What are you doing?
Just thinking, Xena replied, remembering something I did as a kid. Why?
Just wondering.
Gabrielle savored the sense of well-being coming to her from their bond.
Was it fun?
Yeah, the warrior murmured thoughtfully. Just kid stuff. Chasing around in the fields. That kind of thing. Me and my brothers.
Brothers. Gabrielle pondered that. Wish I'd gotten to meet both of them.
Xena was silent for a few breaths. Then she chuckled soundlessly. I'm glad you didn't.
Now that was unexpected.
Gabrielle lifted her head up and shifted, rolling over into her side so she could gaze up at Xena's shattered profile.
Huh?
The warrior turned her head, and the faint light reflected off her open eyes in the barest glint. Remember when I told you about the Fates? How they showed me what my life would have been like if I hadn't become what I did?
Yeah,
Gabrielle whispered. Lysias was still alive. You two met. It was very weird, hearing something like that and knowing Xena remembered it so clearly when she didn't.
We did?
Hmm. He fell for you like a rock off a cliff, Xena remarked mildly.
Oh,
Gabrielle said after a moment's thought. Yeah.
That could have gotten icky,
the bard mused. Oh, yeah.
Did I feel the same way he did?
Xena scratched the bridge of her nose. I don't think so, no.
Head over heels for you, huh?
The warrior smiled into the darkness. Something like that, yeah. We were definitely attracted to each other. Gabrielle digested that.
Did you know you were the very first person I was sexually attracted to?
She glanced up to see those barely seen blue eyes widen in something like astonished bemusement.
I won't embarrass myself totally by telling you how long it took me to figure out just what it was I was feeling.
She rolled back over and put her head down, exhaling in satisfaction. They were both very quiet for a few minutes. Then Xena drew in a breath to speak.
Don't even think about asking me that.
Gabrielle lifted a hand and covered the warrior's mouth.
Ooh.
She felt a nibble on her palms, and the memories of a few very confused and perplexing nights by the fire came flooding back to her, unexpectedly causing an abrupt giggle.
What's so funny?
Xena evaded her fingers and half sat up, cupping Gabrielle's chin in one hand as she kissed her.
Mmm.
Gabrielle enjoyed the barrage of sensation. One thing was for sure. The reality was a Hades of a lot better than anything she fantasized about. She slid her hands under Xena's shift and touched a silky skin underneath, tracing line up from her indented navel. Her fingertips brushed over a faint scar, then across the arched, steadily moving ribs. Xena's powerful thigh slid between hers, and her nape hairs prickled as the warrior's hand fitted itself around her hip. The lips that had been exploring hers shifted, moving across her jawline, around to her ear, where Xena's breath warmed her skin.
"Hey," the warrior purred softly. "Want to hear a secret?"
"Sure."
Gabrielle continued her touch, circling Xena's breast as she felt the warrior shift a little, rolling her onto her back and sliding their bodies together. Xena suckled her earlobe, biting down softly on it, then sending jolts up and down her spine.
"It didn't take me any time at all to figure out what I was feeling,"
Xena uttered, right into her ear, just before she nibbled the interior.
"Those were some very long nights."
Gabrielle chuckled softly under her breath as she felt her shirt eased off her body, exposing her skin to the light breeze from the window. She had no time to be chilled, though, because Xena engulfed her in a wash of insistent sensuality as their bodies fit together and their lips met again. The intensity built slowly, matching the very slow lightning of the sky outside, as dawn approached. Gabrielle opened all her senses to the experience, absorbing the surge of pleasure coming through their connection and reflecting it back, adding the pure joy she was feeling as she did so. They ended up tangled together in the rose light of dawn, blissfully satiated and full of drowsy peace. Gabrielle watched a mote of dust float through the soft light, burnishing Xena's bare skin, her eyes half open, tracking its progress dreamily. So far, at least, it was starting out to be a pretty damn good day.
"Here you go, Dory."
Gabrielle took a bite of bread and handed a piece to her daughter. Dory was seated at the table, accompanied by a muddy-looking Flameball, whom she was attempting to share her breakfast with.
"No, sweetie, I don't think she likes that."
"Duff!"
Dory smashed a handful of crumbs into the stuffed toy's mouth.
"Mama, Duff likes."
"I know. Aries will eat anything."
Gabrielle brushed a few crumbs off her bare shoulders, tucking the end of a linen her body was wrapped into a little more firmly into place. She'd just gotten out of her bath, and her hair was still damp. So was Dory's. In fact, as the toddler had joined her in the water while the city around them woke up and prepared to head off the games.
"But I don't think Flameball likes bread."
Dory studied a toy.
"No."
She picked up the dragon and tossed him off the table.
"Bad."
Then she looked around for a new source of amusement.
"Mama, go Boo."
"Boo will be back in a minute," the bard told her. "She's getting us some fruit and eggs. You like that, right?"
"Good."
Dory agreed happily. She was in a blue jumper today, a new one Cyrene had made for her on the trip up from Amphipolis, so the arms and legs actually fit her. It was stoutly sewn and had dark blue cuffs and buttons. She also had tiny boots, a first, made from leather Gabrielle recognized as cast-off scraps from Xena's latest set of armor.
"What do you think of these, Dory?"
Gabrielle touched the boot, wiggling the foot inside it.
"Do you like your boots? They're just like Boo's."
Dory studied her appendages seriously.
"Good,"
she finally decided.
"No owie."
"Oh, that's right. I bet the floors around here hurt your toes, huh?"
Gabrielle sympathized.
"Not like home."
"Speaking of boots..." The bard tilted her head, catching Xena's very distinctive footsteps on the wood of the hallway outside. The door latch worked, then was pushed open by the warrior's shoulder as she ducked inside.
"Boo!"
Dory started to scramble down off the table, only to be caught by her mother.
"No! Uh-uh!"
Gabrielle plunked her back down.
"You stay right here. Boo's coming over."
The warrior did just that, setting down a basket and ruffling Dory's hair.
"Hey, Shorty, you're not giving your mom a hard time, are you?"
"Yes!"
Dory stood up, balancing carefully and holding onto Xena's leathers. She toddled over to the basket and investigated its contents.
"Well, she's honest."
Gabrielle chuckled, pulling on the baby's jumper and capturing her.
"Get over here, you little sneaky kid."
She picked Dory up and cradled her in her arms, rocking her gently.
"What kind of trouble do you think you're getting into?"
Xena snickered as she unpacked the basket, setting an apple, a fragrant slice of cheese, and a thick, dark loaf of bread down near Gabrielle's apron.
Soon as we finish this, we'd better head over. They're getting ready to start the first event.
She pulled out a skin that gurgled softly. You going to change?
Gabriel picked up a piece of cheese and shared it with Dory. No.
Zena sliced off a piece of the dark bread and took a bite.
They'll have to live with it.
She was wearing her leathers, though she hadn't put on her metal armor.
Eponin and Effany went out there to check the place out. Where are you going to be sitting?
Uff!
Gabriel choked on her mouthful, then swallowed it hastily.
What?
They're your honor guard, Zena went on blithely.
My what?
Gabriel covered her eyes.
Good grief. Wasn't last night enough?
I won't be there. I told them to make sure you were safe. The warrior plowed through a mouthful startled me.
Zena, I can...
One dark eyebrow lifted as Zena peered at her.
I can take care of myself. We both know that,
the bard insisted, a little nettled.
I don't need people marching around waving knives around me.
Gabrielle.
Damn it, Zena. No!
Gabrielle cut her off.
I put up with it last night because I didn't have a choice. Now I do.
Gabrielle.
No!
The warrior sighed.
No!
Dory mimicked her mother, throwing a piece of cheese at her.
No, 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 no!
Zena folded her arms over chest and regarded her contrary family soberly. Gabrielle removed the cheese bits from her cleavage and juggled them, then peeked up at her partner. She evaluated the warrior's expression, judging whether this spurt of protectiveness was an overreaction or something Zena really wanted. It would be a big crowd. She'd be sitting with the rest of the bards, and knew she'd probably be safe. After all, she did, in fact, know how to take care of herself, and staff or no staff, she could confidently handle herself in most scraps if she had to. Zena exhaled silently, the faintest of unconscious furrows wrinkling her brow. However, Gabriel drummed the fingers of one hand on the table, then lifted the hand and pointed at the waiting warrior.
Only because I'm going to have Dory with me.
An eyebrow quirked, along with the corner of Zena's expressive mouth.
And only because I know it'll make you feel better.
Zena bestowed a dazzling smile on her.
I love you.
Ugh.
Gabriel knew herself to be defeated with that. She had absolutely no defense against that smile, that sentiment, or the genuine, though amused warmth in Zena's eyes.
Piggywonks,
she muttered, giving Dory a hug.
Your boot takes shameless advantage of me, Dory. Did you know that?
Good!
Dory started tugging at the linen wrapping her mother's body. Zena chuckled.
That's my girl.
I'm being ganged up on.
Gabrielle attempted, divesting herself of Dory's exploring fingers.
It's so unfair.
Zena eased around the table and started tugging at the wrapping herself.
Hey!
Dory giggled and pulled harder.
Mama, mommy!
Stop it!
Ah!
Gabrielle tried to bat both sets of hands, and still keeping hold of her covering.
Ah! Zena, stop it!
She squirmed as the exploratory fingers turned into tickling her exposed skin.
Wee! Go, Mama!
Dory found this delightful. She wriggled around and clapped her hands.
Ah!
Gabrielle let out a wild yell, then turned and grabbed her partner's hand in her teeth, biting down on the skin, just enough for Zena to know she meant business. The warrior cheerfully stopped her attack, but leaned over and caught the bard's ear in her own teeth, using the same amount of pressure. There was a moment of stillness, even as Dory stopped moving.
Okay, now what?
Gabriel mumbled.
With any luck, my mother will walk in,
Zena replied. The bard started giggling and released her, laughter shaking her body helplessly. Zena also let go, then gave her a kiss on the cheek before she straightened up and rifled the bard's drying hair.
Yes!
Dory took advantage of this and wriggled loose from Gabriel's hold, pulling herself on top of the table and heading for the basket.
Hey!
Zena made a grab for her, but the toddler scrambled forward and clutched the basket, which slid on the table surface and headed off the other end.
Hey!
The warrior yelled as Gabriel slid out of her chair and bolted for the other side of the table.
No time.
Zena crouched and leaped, somersaulting with a half-twist in midair, to land on the other side of the table, just in time to catch Dory's body as she rambled off the table after the basket. Gabrielle pulled up, but not quite in time. She piled into her partner, knocking her off balance and tangling their legs together.
Wah!
She yelped as her linen unwrapped. Gabrielle landed on top of Zena, who landed on her back, her arms holding Dory up out of the way. Dory wiggled her arms and legs in ecstasy.
Boo, go fly!
Not with your mama sitting on me, shorty. Xena grunted, regarding the pretty much naked Bard sprawled on top of her. Gabrielle looked up at her from under her very disheveled blonde hair, and blew a lock of it out of her eyes. She met Xena's gaze with a wry, helplessly plaintive expression. They both started laughing. Xena lowered Dory down and hugged her, then hugged Gabrielle, still laughing.
God!
The Bard groaned, rolling off of her and standing up, tugging up the shreds of her linen and dignity with pathetically grateful that no one had taken it into their head just to come waltzing into the room. She gazed down at her soulmate, who was lying comfortably, playing with Dory's hands as the baby sat on her stomach.
Good. Keep her occupied while I get dressed.
You should go like that, Xena commented. Gabrielle threw a look over one shoulder.
I will, if you will. Oh, wait, scratch that. You would.
Xena stuck her tongue out. Gabrielle responded in kind. Dory reached out and grabbed this invitingly pink object. Laughter erupted again, and Xena rocked up into a sitting position, then rose to her feet in one smooth motion with Dory in her arms. We're on the silly side today. She set Dory down on the chair and handed her flame ball. Gabrielle pulled out a clean outfit.
Yeah, we are, huh?
She studied the fabric.
I feel sort of...
Her voice cracked as Xena nibbled the back of her neck.
Z, you start that up again and we can forget those games.
The warrior sounded like she was seriously considering it. Gabrielle looked back over her shoulder as the warrior rested her chin on it, making their noses almost brush. Before she knew what was happening, they were kissing, and she was turning to slip into her arms around Xena's tall frame as the warrior's hand slid down her still mostly bare body. They both heard footsteps approaching outside, and after a rebellious moment, they broke off, and Gabrielle stepped back, trying to control her ragged breathing.
Well,
she pulled a fresh tunic over her head and smoothed the fabric down, then ran her hands through her hair.
What's up with us today?
I don't know, Xena answered quietly, reaching out to brush her fingertips across the Bard's cheeks. But I like it.
It was almost too much.
Gabrielle stepped forward, leaning to the warrior's touch, and only just barely keeping her hand still at her sides. A light knock came at the door. Gabrielle, Ebony's voice penetrated the wood. You ready?
Oh, yeah,
the Bard whispered, her gaze still locked with Xena's. After a moment, she cleared her throat and deliberately looked aside.
Just about,
she called out in a louder tone. Xena reached around and captured her hand, simply lacing their fingers together. Come on, she said. I'll walk you over to your spot, then get moving over to the marathon. She adjusted Gabrielle's clothing with her other hand, then ruffled the shortened hair into a semblance of order.
Okay.
Gabrielle just didn't want to let her go. She ran a comb through her hair and glanced in the silvered metal mirror in the room, brushing her now unmarked cheek. Then she had to release the warrior so she could sit down and put her boots on, tugging the leather straps up and fastening the laces around her calves. Xena collected Dory, settling her in her backpack and adjusting the straps over her shoulders. Ready? Gabrielle stood up and brushed herself off, then held her hand out again. Xena took it, and they walked together to the door.
See?
The Bard asked suddenly as they reached it.
Hmm?
Xena paused with a hand on the latch.
No matter what happens today, I'll be proud of you.
Xena gazed affectionately at her. Thanks, she said. But no matter what happens today, I'll be the one you're putting that laurel crown on tonight. She winked at her soulmate. Promise. With that, she leaned over and gave her one last kiss.
Love you,
the Bard whispered as they parted.
I know,
Xena replied, touching her nose to her partner's.
That's why.
Gabrielle preceded her through the door, lifting her head as she found her Amazon escort waiting for them.
Let's go.
She led Xena down the hall, hearing them fall into step behind her. To be continued. Well, that concludes part 11 of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. And that is episode number 97 of XNU. Now, I know it's going to be a short episode, but I don't want to start into a new one, a new chapter, and then have to cut it off. I don't like leaving you guys hanging. I know that's kind of cruel. I could do that, but I don't think it should be fair. And it'll leave you to expect what the next
show has, because it's actually quite good. So, with that in mind, we conclude this episode. I remind everyone that we are getting closer to the 100th episode, ta-da, of XNU. I will be working furiously on my blogspot this weekend to try and get it updated so that we can have an recipe section, like I've asked everybody to send in recipes. And please still send in your recipes. Just because I have two or three doesn't mean that I don't want them. Continue to send them in, because you know, you have one, two, or three recipes, you want a few in there. So send them in, and I'm going to sort it out and hopefully get a good area so that, you know, don't know if it's going to be Recipe Corner, Gab's Cooking, I don't know what it's going to be yet, but yeah, there will be a recipe section. If you have any stories you want to hear for future after A Matter of Pride and after I read my story, send them in so I can go ahead and start getting the author's permission and we have something to continue on with and hopefully lead us to episode 200 of XNU. Who knows? If you have any dedications, announcements, or anything like that, send an email to xena.uber@gmail.com. So to everyone attending out there to the XenaCon, enjoy, have fun. And for those who are not attending the XenaCon, still enjoy and have fun. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.